Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hi and welcome to this week's episode. Today I'm joined by Lauren Polly, who is a speaker, a coach and a multi-award winning author of her book, The Other Side of Bipolar. Her thing is all about living beyond your label and you know how much I love that. So we are going to dive straight in. Hi Lauren, thanks for joining me.
Hello Ebony and everyone listening.
let's start with the the basics here. What does adulting mean for you?
Adulting, I love that. For me, adulting is really being able to like pull your shit together when you need to. And I think so many of us are like rocked by the world and we live rocked by the world. So everything that happens around us is kind of the deciding factor in where we go, who we are, how we present ourselves. And really for me, that adulting, pulling your shit together is more being strong and of yourself, not protected, not shielded, but knowing yourself enough to go, no, I don't have to react to what's around me. I don't have to let my boat be rocked. I can kind of hold myself steady and have fun in the process.
Do you know what I love so much about that is the idea that having your shit together isn't about controlling, isn't about pretending, isn't about like this, the image I often get when I talk about like getting your shit together, there's this like gathering together and a holding of breath. Mm-hmm. And actually what you're talking about is almost the opposite, right? It's almost like exhaling in order to just be. And calling that having your shit together because you're being you and you're like solid in your center.
And I love it too. Like it's interesting with my book, The Other Side of Bipolar, my story of being diagnosed as bipolar and a lot of the treatment methods, what they teach you to do is that exact thing is pull yourself together, but in a state of controlling yourself, editing yourself constantly, being super perfect on the outside so no one can throw the stigma that inevitably comes your way. And so I got very, very, very tight in my body. I could feel it in my body. My personality got tight. I lost a lot of my creativity through that process. And so my second half of the book is me undoing all of that and coming to this realization that, yeah, I can pull my shit together, but there's a soft quality to it. And there is that, like, I love how you say that exhale of it. And to me, that's an adult. If you actually look at somebody who is so like self-possessed and knows themselves well, there's not a lot of rigidity in the world. They are just them, hook, line, and sinker. For me, that's like the most seductive quality because it feels very relaxed. It feels very open. And they're uniquely them with no need to do anything else, you know?
Oh my God, I do. We met at an event where we both spoke and my attitude around speaking used to be, I need to know my shit. I have to have it written down. I need to know exactly what I'm saying. It needs to be right. And I need to like pull it together. Right. And as you could tell, because you saw me there, like I got over that pretty quickly. And now I'm like, I have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth until I open my mouth. But I do know that I know myself really well. I know the essence of who I am. I know the essence of my message. And I get to feel the room and feel into like, how can I be of service today? What can I share from this place of knowing me that will connect with this place of these people knowing them? And so it's so true that when we know ourselves, when we come home to ourselves and allow ourselves to be all of who we are, it's so freeing. And yet when we're in that place of being told we must control ourselves or believing that we must control ourselves, it's terrifying, the idea, right?
There's a lack of trust in yourself that really, I think most of us pick up on as we grow up, either from society, from family who kind of doesn't trust you, so then they teach you not to trust yourself. From experiences that we have where we create lots of uh-ohs and oopsies, and before you know it, your trust kind of gets a little rocked. And then if the bigger cases where there is a diagnosis, there's a label put on you, the trust in yourself to actually just be inherently you isn't really there. It's like, no, there's something really wrong with your gut nature that you have to change it in some way. So that trust in you really isn't there. So to be able to be open right from the get-go, there's a lot of self-editing, there's second guessing, there's the time when things fly out of your mouth and then you're like, oh, that wasn't the thing to probably say. So all these control mechanisms really get put in the picture because of that. And really and truly, the bigger picture is to build that trust in you. And the path to it looks different for all of us, but the important thing is to actually start your way on that path, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So much of that is so true. So if someone listening to this either has found themselves in a place where they've received a diagnosis, or they know someone close to them that they care about has been given this label. My experience with an entirely different label was, on the one hand, it was a relief because suddenly there was a reason for the thing. And also then like this rigidity of like, well, what the fuck do I do now that I've got this label? Can you speak into that a little bit? Because I think it would be useful for both sides, for people to know from experience. Like, yeah.
That like initial relief of, okay, I've been feeling weird and different, like too different to be and a little nutty. And I know I don't really fit, but I'm not sure why. Like, there is a relief when you get a label, because there's someone who's on the other side of that conversation who understands you, and hope of all hope may have a way out of that you're struggling with. So I totally get that. For me, what I talk about a lot is this love affair that starts to develop with a diagnosis. And that's the tricky territory, because it's not just that initial relief, here's some information, I'm going to move about it in my own way, and the empowerment in the individual to do that. A lot of it starts becoming, this is the label, these are the characteristics, this is the way it is now, it's never going to change. Mm-hmm. And with that, there's this love affair where it's twisted. Like, you love it because it gave you relief, but at the same time, you hate it because you're in a box that you can't get out of. And before you know it, there's like this battle back and forth of, I love it, but I hate it, but I love it, but I hate it. I want something different, but it'll never come to be because this is the way it is. So I think it's tricky territory to navigate. I would say the biggest thing is to start exploring yourself beyond that label. And that feels very confronting. It feels very scary. It was terrifying for me when I first started to kind of look at, what would I be if I'm not like bipolar Lauren? You know, what would I be if I'm not depressed Joe? What would I be if I'm not the shy one in the corner of the room, the wallflower? And this can go in all different directions. But you really have to kind of look, if I wasn't just this box that I've been put in, I could still have the relief of someone seeing me and knowing that I was supported, but I could start to loosen the reins a little bit. What would that look like for you? It may be just opening your creativity again. It may be kind of not trying to control your energy when there's a big wave that moves through your space. You know, it may be just a softening where normally you would try to pull yourself together in that tight way. There's tiny movements you can make that aren't dangerous, like I think a lot of people think they would be. That starts to give you a lot more sense of yourself and freedom.
And if you're someone who has grown up in a world where kind of allopathic medicine and institutions is the enemy, and they've always wanted to be themselves and trust themselves and not go into this kind of place of labels because that's scary for them, is there actual benefit in following the system or following a path as well?
I think so. I'm very weird. I'm very weird in the fact that I'm so weird that I look normal a lot of times, which throws people. Like, I love the quote, like, look normal and think wild. That way you can get up into all sorts of interestingness and no one sees you coming. But for me, it's such a fascinating thing because it's the conversation of, I'm either this or I'm that. Like, I'm allopathic and I'm totally walking the line. I'm not going to waver from it at all. I'm going to do exactly what the doctor says, or I'm totally holistic alternative and I'm going to fight the system, man. Mm-hmm. But both of those are rigid, holding yourself together in a way that really cuts down on possibilities. For me, I use everything. I used allopathic medicine. That was the beginning of my journey. Went through some interesting experiences with that. But I found the success when I found a holistic psychiatrist who brought in everything. You know, yes, it was the medication conversation. It was traditional talk therapy, but it was energy work and yoga and diet and exercise. And for the biggest part of that conversation, really building my self-esteem and my self-confidence and my sense of self, that's really what led in a totally different direction for me. And what I've seen work with my clients time and time again, it's not either or when you let yourself use everything, that's magic. And people don't realize that if you're fighting against something, you're cutting down on the magic that's really there and possible for you to dive into.
Thank you for sharing that. I think it's so important. You know, because I tend to attract people who are in a place of seeing things as black or white. I think it's really important to understand that there are shades of gray and that it can include complete white and complete black in any moment as well. And that it's not a decision that you make once and then you're done. You don't need to say, oh, I'm going to follow this path. And then, you know, you've given away your sovereignty. You still have your sovereignty at every step in the journey that you're going on.
And you can totally be wily about it. You know what I mean? Go to the doctor, get your information. It doesn't mean that you give up your power. But unfortunately, a lot of allopathic medicine, it is a little bit of that disempowering thing where this is your label. You have to follow what I do and you're wrong or bad or dangerous if you don't. That's probably not the doctor for you. There is enough demand out there currently where the supply is starting to catch up, where there are doctors who are looking more at the holistic perspective. And if you're with someone who's disempowering you, don't waste another appointment there. Start looking for somebody else. You don't have to stay with something that's actually feeling, it's kind of an interesting energy. It's kind of like, it's almost like a battle thing where you're fighting against the person. Sometimes that resistance is you, but sometimes it's just not a good match, you know? Look at your options.
I think that's important because it can feel like one of the most disempowering places, right? If you don't trust yourself, if you believe you're dangerous, you believe that somebody else outside of you is going to have the answers, and to some degree they may very well, but you want to retain some of your connection to yourself and start exploring and know that you will know when you found the right person.
You follow what's light for you. You know what I mean? And what I mean by that is when there's a sense of relaxation, when your body is open, when the energy kind of pops and sparkles, or where you have that big aha. Sometimes I talk about it as like a pop of interest and you kind of want to lean into it. A person is interesting and you want to lean into them. Those are the things that have something for you. There's information, there's inspiration, there's power there, there's something, and it may look totally different than what you think, but why not explore it? You know, if you've been battling against Western medicine, but then you have a pop of interest to go read a book by somebody, why not go and explore? There may be a tidbit that could work for you, but it doesn't mean you have to buy the whole thing. And I think that's where people cut themselves off at the knees. You don't have to. You have choice all the way through.
Did you always feel like that? Did you feel like you had choice?
No. this is years later and work and work and work and work. I mean, years in the Western medical system. And then also I'm a yoga teacher. I'm a life coach. I've done tons and tons and tons of work on myself. And that's where my coaching comes from. It's just more the personal experience and where I've seen that actually apply in a broader perspective to a lot of what people are going through. And I think that's kind of the bigger thing to look at is everyone, the way they present themselves as the expert to you, they didn't start there. I didn't start there. I know Ebony didn't start here. No one starts where they're talking from. You have to, I would say, search for the people who are authentic enough to say, I've created a lot for myself. It's taken some time, but I can shortcut my path for you. I didn't feel like I had any choice. I had to toe the line. I was terrified of exploring. I thought I was dangerous. I thought I was going to hurt myself or people if I wavered even a second. But the more and more I relaxed into myself, and that was baby steps at a time. I just kept getting a sense of hope and warmth and ease and wow, I actually like myself, which was the most shocking thing of all. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, I know. but you know, for me there were also changes I got to make along the way so that I can say that, you know, like I had to be willing to look in all of the places at some of the stuff that I didn't like about myself, and look at how I was numbing and look at, you know, what I was doing. Was I, and for me, it was things like work or things like food or sex, or, you know, there were all of these distractions that were wonderful and also sometimes not so wonderful, sometimes horribly painful, but the perception was that they were going to be less painful than looking at my own shit.
Yes, that's so huge, Ebony. And most of us do that, right? We have these kind of like, this is intense, but it's intense in a way that I can tolerate, where this other thing is intense in a way that no way can I tolerate. And it's kind of like this behavioral thing that starts to develop, you know, and diagnosed or not, anytime you've been given a label, we develop behavioral stuff kind of in opposition to it or in reaction to it. And a lot of that is a false front. That's not actually you, what you think it is. So being really real and true of like, okay, cool, there's behavioral stuff here. That means that I'm choosing it is not the nicest conversation. There's a self-accountability that comes with it that is so unsexy. I totally get it. But being able to actually be honest with yourself and brutally honest at times, that's going to set you free faster than anything else.
Yeah. And to me, that's adulting, right? Like being willing to look at the really unsexy shit in order to be able to access a point of bliss, right? Like I also, like the other reality is I had absolutely no idea the richness of life that was available to me on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it probably, I'm assuming there, but for me, like that, it looked a lot different than I thought it would. I thought there was a bliss I was going towards, and the bliss had all sorts of pictures and things that I thought it would be. And it's totally different. There really is just a sense of peace with myself. It's like the ocean, that same energy of like, oh, I am what I am. And sometimes I flare and sometimes I don't. But no matter what, I'm beautiful and I'm here. And there's no negating that. There's no arguing against it. There's also no fighting against it. And for me, that's so interesting because the bliss sometimes gets twisted into fantasy land where truly the most valuable thing in my perspective that gets disvalued a lot is the peace with yourself, and that it's possible to have that in rocky times.
Yeah. It's the manifestation of the peace that for me looks so different. Mm-hmm. Like when I think back to, for me, it was moments of huge depression, complete and utter numbness, nothingness, suicidalness. And bliss for me was perfection. Bliss for me was white and shiny and light and ordered and had no one else in it except people doing exactly what I wanted them to do. Like if I was really honest, right? And then I started going down a hole and I'm like, oh, now my bliss is ruined because it's a fantasy, because it's not real. And so peace with myself, with the world, with reality, with being present is a fuck of a lot messier than I ever wanted it to be. And in that mess is such richness and such beauty.
Yeah, and I love the word rich, you know what I mean? There's like layers and there's textures and there's flavors. There's so much of life to enjoy that if you're only really playing in one bandwidth, one box that you put yourself in or someone else has put you in, you're missing out on a whole bunch, you know? So it's really kind of reclaiming the joy and exploring all of that. And yeah, it's very, very.
Yeah, as you're speaking, I feel like it's important, at least from my perspective, to share that this really is about living beyond the label. I love what you said there of like, whether it's a label that's been given to you, whether it's a label that you've, or a box you've put yourself in, the amount of boxes I put myself in, it's unreal really. And you know, we can be talking about mental health, we can be talking about environmental factors, this applies across the board, right?
Yeah. And I think that's kind of the interesting thing. It's easy for me to, you know, the book, The Other Side of Bipolar, I'm like literally take bipolar out and put the other side of shyness, of anger, of PTSD, you know what I mean? And it's funny because we don't even realize the roles and the hats that we put on become a label in of themselves. I'm the mom. I'm the one who does this. I'm the healthcare worker. Everything that you do in your life kind of has a expectation of how you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be able to create. Those are all boxes and they're all definitions of you that may pull your shit together, but do it in a way that's more of a controlling toe the line. It's kind of an interesting hard look at where you're cutting off of your creativity and your movability with life by buying into that.
Oh, that's huge. I feel like there are so many nuggets in that we could dive into. And I'm also aware of the time. I'm like, okay, where are we going to go from here? If someone is listening to this and they've got that we're really talking beyond the label of any sort here, who is your book for and what are they going to get from it?
The book is for anyone who has felt too different to be defined in some way, where they're not good enough. There's just kind of this thing where I'm not quite sure how I fit here or where I'm supposed to go. And for me, that showed up as a bipolar mental illness. For other people who've read it, it's just always been the sense of being wrong or being different, but not knowing how to like be different in a way that actually works for them. It works for anyone who's been diagnosed, of course, a lot of family members, professionals who are looking at kind of an insider look of what it's like for someone who's lived with a label. I think it's super helpful for. But more than anything, the book is my transformative journey, and I invite you through it to walk with me to transform yourself. So there's nuggets about body awareness. There's nuggets about peace with self. There's nuggets about coming out of perfection, because that was like insanity number two that I dove into after the bipolar, was trying to be perfect to fix it. So I just say that there's something in it for everybody. And I know a lot of authors say that, but
and I also feel like, one of the reasons you're here and we're having this conversation is like, if people are like my stuff, if they identify as a misfit or they enjoyed my book, then they're absolutely going to love yours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it really, I mean, any entity out there that really invites you to look and actually start to have more possibilities and more hope and more insight into what's going on for you, I think is something really to dive into. You know, I know your book is similar in that regard. So I just say anything that kind of pops.
Yeah. And also that helps you feel less alone. Because for me, I was like, I'm the only person in the whole world who's ever experienced life like this. And you know what? Like, so many people email me when they read my book and they're like, okay, I'll give you that. Right. No one, I have not lived your exact life, but I felt all of those feelings, all of those, you know, everything that went on for you internally, you could have been describing my internal world. And I think that's so important.
And isn't it fascinating? Because that's the conversation I have with so many people, where we're silent in our struggle. We don't speak up because there's the stigma, there's the definitions, there's the, I don't even know how to express this. Is this even a problem thing? And the more you speak up, the more other people go, oh my God, I had the same weird stuff going through my head. Oh my God, my body felt the same way. Oh, I've struggled with that too. It's so funny. We have so many share points with that, but because not a lot of people open the windows and open the doors to the deeper parts, you feel alone. But I think that's the beauty in these creations, where you can actually read something or speak to someone and go, oh, wait a second, maybe I'm not alone. And maybe I'm not as weird and kind of fucked up as I think I am, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we all are, pretty much.
As
I was, but we all are, and that makes it okay, right?
We're all weird and wonderful. The fucked up part, you know, there's.
Yeah, semantics. You know, I think it is. It's really true. None of us are broken, and we're not here to be fixed. And the acceptance and the peace is what really matters.
Yeah. Yeah, and what would it take for more of us actually to dive into that? Because that could change the face of the planet in my perspective.
I wholeheartedly agree. If people want to come and find out more about you, find out the book, I'll put all the links in so that it's all, as usual, clickable through. But where should they come?
LaurenPolly.com is kind of the hub for all of that. The book, my speaking, and then also my weekly podcast, which is the Lighten Up podcast with Lauren Polly. So you'll find everything there.
Fantastic. Thank you. It's been such a joy. I feel like I could speak to you for another 10 hours and we'd never get bored.
I know.
Will you do an I'm an adult but for me?
I'm an adult, but I still lose my shit sometimes. I'm an adult, but I still lose my shit sometimes. I'm not perfect. And I make choices sometimes that are against my grain, I would say, but I have enough of that in me where I'm willing to look and I'm willing to go, okay, that's what that created. I take ownership. And next time around, here we go. Yeah.
Read that in for a moment. Yeah. I'm an adult, but I actually want to give myself permission to tantrum more, because I watch my niece, my godchildren, I have many of them, which is beautiful, watch them move through their feelings with such ease and such grace. Like they tantrum in a way that's full on and then it's gone. And I am an adult who wants to tantrum and let go more.
Mm-hmm. And how fast you'll move through it. I love that. I love that analogy and that like real life example, right? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where I think sometimes when you mask it or you're trying against it, you know what I mean? It's like it doesn't actually get its full volume and it needs that full volume just to go in a non-destructive way.
Yeah. I genuinely can't remember the last time I like full volume anything. And I'm really in a place right now of giving myself permission to do that. Like really. Mm-hmm. In a place that I've reached with my body where it finally feels safe for me to be all in. And I think, you know, that's another thing that I would love to have known at the beginning of my journey, like really known. I genuinely believed that I would reach a place where I was done. And all of the experts that I could see around me seemed to be selling done to me. And I wish I'd met someone on my journey who wasn't selling done, who was selling peace or who was selling contentment or reconciliation or alignment or, you know, any of those things, but not done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so funny because none of us are ever done.
No.
There's always more.
Yeah. And I still have days where I don't feel great about that.
Join the club.
It has been such a pleasure, and thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been a lovely. And you're very unique to talk to, and I get that your audience is the same way of just being very open and exploratory. And how better than that, you know?
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.